Club.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush, rush, rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
Friday and a freedom weekend ahead of us.
It's Friday, yeah.
Then it's Saturday, Sunday, what?
Come on, baby.
Friday's here, but we got a ripping show to get you there as well. There's a big story brewing around the Ashes and cricket. We know what's happening. We know that England is sending out what some are describing as a subpar squad. But yeah. Australia's got a huge cricketing concern surrounding Will Pekowski, the young man. So
ongoing, isn't it?
Really. Yeah, we'll talk about that and through the details of it a bit later. But the thing that jumps out to me on the run sheet today, MG, is a bloke by the name of Sonny Bill Williams.
SBW. I remember my first ever time I met him face to face. He was a 19-year-old kid and went to a function up the Central Coast. And I'm going to ask him today if he remembers that, because first signing, I was so impressed. First impression actually was when I was commentating. I was commentating with the ABC radio back in 2004 when he made his debut.
And look at you now.
And look at me now, baby. I'm on the rush hour with Liam Flanagan.
I've never spoken to Sonny Bill before, and you know, you get why this bloke is an idol to kids. I mean, physically, he's just built to play sport, and I can't wait to talk to him about this book that he's been very honest in. Lots of news generated about Sonny Bill and all the stories he's told in this book. So he's going to join us. But off the top, we need to talk about this.
What's cracking?
Tiger Town, MG.
Tiger Town 2, about to unfold at the cinema near you, because they've just brought a couple of signings in and they've got everyone scratching their head.
We need to talk about the West Tigers. Today, the reports are from the Sydney Morning Herald. Josh Hodgson will depart the Raiders and join the West Tigers on a 2-year deal.
Like most signings, I didn't see that one coming. You know, he's 31, nearly 32.
He'll be 32 at the end of the month.
Well, there you go. They've got Little, they've got Simpkins. For me, it's a head scratcher. I know the Tigers need a kill. And what better way to make a killing than, you know, signing an international hooker who can probably play lock at a pinch as well. But I suppose for experience, and then that's what they're probably buying him for, is to bring these guys through, Little and Simpkins, to the next level. But it depends on what they pay for him, Liam, I suppose. And looking, I suppose, with the Tigers, they've got to pay overs. I know Hodgson's looking for a bit of a long-term deal. I thought he might have been after a 3 or 4 year deal, but I didn't see this one coming, I must confess.
Well, the reports are that he's on $800,000 a year at the Raiders.
And when he came, he was worth every cent, because he was pushing Cameron Smith as the best hooker in the land for about 2 or 3 years.
Yep.
But in the last couple of years, we haven't seen much of him.
And look, he won't get that much at the West Tigers. It's now the negotiation is reportedly around just how much of the salary that the Raiders are prepared to contribute for next season.
You'd say close to half.
Well, and it's normally the West Tigers the other way around doing that sort of stuff. So it's good to see them on the other end of the stick. But from a playing perspective, you mentioned Simpkin, who's 19. In fact, he turns 20 tomorrow. Happy birthday, Jake.
Good kid. Good kid.
And then Little as well, who's 24. So they do have, you know, this young upcomer and a guy who could be playing from an age and experience demographic first grade at the moment. On the Raiders side of thing, they're putting all their eggs in the Tom Starling basket as far as hooker goes. But why are you excited about Hodgson arriving at the West Tigers? Let's put a positive spin on this for the West Tigers.
Okay. Well, what does he bring? It's a great signing. It's a signing. I'm putting my positive hat on. And we'll start this all over again by saying, guess what? The Tigers have signed Josh Hodgson.
Oh,
how bloody good.
Awesome.
How good. What a signing. Wow. Five other clubs are after his signature. And the Tigers got him at last. They've got a kill.
That's a good point, because there were other teams interested in him. When you add Josh Hodgson in to the fact that Tyron Peachy is also going to be at the West Tigers
good
next
signing.
Year.
Good signing, the Peach.
Is the West Tigers starting to shape into a nice roster for next year? Where do they need one more kill, perhaps? Who else could they, you know, benefit from adding?
Oh, definitely in the centres. A finisher. You know, Nofaluma's kind of, his career stalled somewhat. They've got young Dane Laurie at fullback, who's electric. He's a positive. He's going to be there for a long time. Adam Dewey, well, he won't be there for much of the season. He's with a knee, ACL.
Such a shame.
Yeah, and Luke Brooks. Look, they definitely need a strike centre. I think they need another back rower, a Tarek Sims.
It's very interesting that the Tarek Sims, I don't know if the approach was made, but that he hasn't landed there. It seemed like a nice fit.
Well, Tarek Sims, I've got him playing for Panthers. I've got him playing for the Titans. I've got him playing for the Roosters. At least it's a positive thing for the Tigers. You know, in a year of woe, in a year when most of the comments, you know, centered their way were negative, this is at least a positive bit of news for them.
Absolutely.
They've signed Tyrone Peachey from the Titans, who is a fantastic utility player.
He's a State of Origin player.
And in the last few weeks for the Titans, he was really good at 5'8".
Yeah.
He was it was really good. So he can play there. And I suppose that's where they're going to play him until Adam Dewey comes back. And look, as Josh Hodgson, he's an experienced guy. He'll get these guys, Little and Simpkins, playing the best possible football they can play. So, and I think Tim Sheens might have had something to do with it.
We forget that Tim Sheens is official now. He's officially on board with the West Tigers.
Yeah.
Would you make Hodgson captain?
No, because they did that with Jamie Samau last year, and I think it was a mistake. I don't think you can bring blokes to a club without them having a feel of the fabric and just put them as the number C next to their name. I think they've got to earn that right by, you know, buying into the dirt. Not saying anything against James Tarmow. It's, hey, if you're going to a club and they're going to say, mate, we're going to make you captain, you're going to say no.
Mm.
Look, I would have given it to Luke Brooks last year. I would have said, mate, you're a skipper. Let's go. Let's do it. But there's not really many other contenders, I suppose, if you look around their ranks.
Mm.
James Tarmow, who will still be there. Obviously, he might be captain again. But Josh Hodgson, I don't think he needs that added burden of being the captain, of coming to the Tigers. I think he'd love to come to the Tigers under a bit of a radar and just say, you know what, I just want to play some footy.
Let him come in and be a Yoda to these young kids.
Yeah.
No official responsibilities.
You can't have a better tradesman for these young apprentices than Josh Hodgson.
All right, there you go, Tigers. Get excited. You've got an experienced, quality player on board for next season, and may the momentum continue. MG, there's not too many people in the sporting world that you know by the initials. You know, MJ. If I say MJ, you know I'm talking about
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan, exactly. And rugby league has their own very own version of that, SBW.
I was on hand at Parramatta Stadium back in 2004 working for the ABC radio, and I happened to watch Parramatta's game against the Bulldogs, and a young guy called Sonny Bill Williams came on the field in number 3 jersey. And with the first touch of the ball, I thought, my goodness, what are we watching here? And he ended up scoring a try that night, setting up 2 or 3, and they won, I think, about 50-14 against the Eels. But he announced himself in a profound way.
Well, now he's announced himself as an author. Sonny Bill Williams has released his book, You Can't Stop the Sun from Shining, Sonny Bill Williams, and he joins us on the line. G'day, Sonny.
Hey guys, great to be here. Thanks for the intro, but you got one thing wrong, bro. It's not SBW, it's MG, Mark Guyatt. That's the initials we remember.
They did used to compare us a little bit. We're both a bit crazy off the field, a bit crazy on the field, but I've got 5 kids now. Sonny's got 4. We've settled down a lot, thank God. But
it's true, Mark. It was a straight affinity when we met each other, I think, because we, you know, kind of walked the same path and came from the same type of struggle. You know what I mean, bro?
It was, mate. I remember going up to the Central Coast, and you were in your first year, and I was doing something with Graeme Hughes, and he said, I'm bringing Sonny Bill Williams up with me. I said, oh, man, I can't wait to meet him. And as soon as I met him, we looked eye to eye, 6'4", both of us, and very similar builds, and straight away we connected, because we knew that Sonny's from the rough side in Auckland, I'm from Mount Druitt, and we often got mistaken for louts, but our football done our talking for us. What do you remember about that first night, Sonny, when you got your first grade jersey against the Parramatta Eels, and you carved up, buddy. You carved up.
It was just surreal. I just remember after the game, like, the crowd calling my name, and I'm sitting there thinking, man, are they calling my name? You know, like, but it was a massive buzz. It was a massive buzz. But I think I was comfortable in that space with the boys because I had worked at the club for 2 years. I was cleaning the bird poo off the grandstands. And there was a bloke at the Dogs at the time. He's the gear man. He's still there. His name was Freddie Serrato. He kind of took me under his wing, and I would help him out. But it was just unreal. As a 16-year-old, I was around guys like Mark O'Mealy, Willie Mason, Adam Perry, Corey Hughes. You know, these guys. And I remember one training session, because I'd just clean up after them or whatever, help out Freddie. Folksy said to me, bro, mate, we need a guy to jump on the wing or just to hold the tackle bag. Bro, that was the greatest feeling for a youngster to be around those type of guys, you know, that you looked up to so much, just day in, day out. I would have cleaned the dirty laundry if they asked me, but that was the buzz. So, accumulating and me making my debut with them at 18 years old, of age.
Do you remember signing the contract as a 14-year-old?
Yeah, on the back of my mom's little Honda. I think it was a Honda Civic that she used to drop us off to school, and we'd say, Mom, can you drop us down the road? And she'd be doing burnouts to say, I'll teach these kids to, you know? So, you know, this whole process of writing the book, it was such a great process for me, because I was able to delve back and remember the good times, but also remember the tough times and just understand myself a little bit more. You know, I always say today, when giving advice to youngsters, sportsmen, sportswomen, Mark would attest to this too, that the better person makes the better sportsman because they understand themselves better. They understand their struggles and their strengths and their weaknesses. You know what I'm trying to say?
Oh, 100%, mate. As I said, that night I met you as an 18 or 19-year-old, you were young, you were shy, you were an imposing figure, but you didn't have this aura about you that you've got now with your how you speak to the, in the media. You've come such a long way, and as you say, you're a work in progress. You're getting better at everything you do year by year, and that's as a father as well.
I appreciate that, Mark. It's one of the things I've learned throughout the process. And, you know, how I was raised, I never saw anyone growing up. I never saw anyone in a high position of prominence. You know, it was all low income jobs. I lived in a low decile era. We didn't have wallpaper on our walls. It was a housing commission household. Dad didn't sit me down. Mom didn't sit me down and say, look, son, when you make it, if you make it, you know, these are the pitfalls. These are the things to look out for. It wasn't about thriving, bro. It was about surviving.
Yes.
So that,
yes,
that struggle drove me to reach the heights I did on the field. But on the other side of the coin, it didn't equip me to deal with what was to come. And, you know, I struggled a lot. You know, although I was playing some great footy at the time when I took off, I was deeply, deeply, deeply unhappy off it. And I wish that I had the mindset I have now. Because I would have been able to, it wouldn't have went down the way that it went down. You know what I mean, Mark? And
yeah, big
I would
time,
be more confident to stand up and say, look, this is how I'm feeling. This is what needs to change. But I just felt like I needed to escape. But the thing was, what I found out was when I escaped, when I ran, the man in the mirror was still, the problems I was facing, the demons I had was staring straight back at me in the mirror.
Wow.
When I was in France, you know what I mean?
Well, that's when the big decision was made in 2009. While you're in France, you converted to Islam. Tell us how that all come about.
Yeah, well, I've always been a man of God. So when I went through that whole process of discovering myself and why I am the way I am, you know, I just felt like at that time, especially, you know, I never touched drugs until I made first grade, believe it or not.
A lot of kids are the same, Sonny. A lot of kids are the same.
And in those early 2000s, the motto was, it was train hard, play hard,
party
drink hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah, bloody oath.
And I just followed the leader. I wasn't strong enough in my own moral within my own moral compass to say, look, hey, this is not right. I shouldn't treat women like this. I shouldn't abuse my body like this. But I took the selfish option and I just followed the leader. And it took me to a place where I was deeply unhappy and then accumulating. And when I wanted to try and get myself right, Islam came. And it gave me the structure that I could put for so long. I put so much effort into being the best sportsman I could. I took that same discipline into my faith, you know, and it made me happy. It made me happy, so happy, you know. Five times a day, I have to pray. Five times a day. But I strive to pray with my heart, not just my limbs. And when you're praying like that, it's an amazing feeling because I'm grateful for the kids, the struggles that I have with my kids. I'm grateful for the love that I have my wife, but the struggles I have with my wife. I'm grateful just to look around and see there's wallpaper on the wall because I never had that growing up. You know what I'm trying to say?
Now it's an ocean view, brother.
Yeah, that's it, bro.
Sonny, do you do any work with any ongoing relationships with any of the young Roosters players or players from anywhere else around the league?
I help out a few guys. I won't go into detail about that.
No.
But the thing for me is that I'm not a hoarder of, I guess, the knowledge that I have in a sense where the knowledge that I have isn't amazing, but it's just, if you can make it, I always say to the youngsters, if you can make it in sports, you have that, obviously you have that discipline. Just transfer it to off the field and try and be the best person you can be. You know, deep down, I feel like we all know what to do, but we just need that little discipline or that little bit of courage or that little bit of push or that little bit of port to get to where we want to get to. You know what I mean?
The reason I ask is because we have seen in this off-season, we've seen three or four incidents of players being arrested for in drug possession, players being caught out on social media doing the wrong thing, and it feels like those struggles you've spoken about and written in your book are still a problem in the competition currently. And I feel like, you know, it's all well and good for club executives and coaches to say these things, but I feel like if some of these players had Sonny Bill Williams standing in front of them telling this story, I mean, they can probably go and buy the book.
Well, tell them to buy the book.
But, you know, it's still, we've seen this, you know, Cam Munster and Brandon Smith, both currently serving their time, copping punishments for similar behaviour.
Well, you know what, boys? I think what the first thing we need to understand is that these young men, these young women, they're products of society. You know, we all make mistakes at these at a young age. The thing is, with these guys, obviously it's amplified. So for me, what I think of what's so key and what's so vital in an age where these sportsmen, sportswomen have everything at their fingertips, nutrition advice, recovery advice, everything, you know, the leadership group within the club is so important.
100%.
And I think the other thing we need to understand is just because these guys are on field and we see them and they're doing all these amazing things and we're like, man, they've got it all worked out. Sometimes they don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
well, that's the biggest thing that came out of the book, how upset with your own self you were, how troubled you were. Like, for most 19, 20, 21-year-olds watching you, you were their idol, and they were you were who they wanted to be, aspired to be, but little did they know that the demons were knocking on your door.
And I think that's why it was important that I put the vulnerability hat on, Mark, and I told my story, because, yes, okay, people might understand me a bit better. I get that. But the thing for me is the style I played, you know, these massive hits, these outrageous offloads. You know, it's important for people to understand, young people to understand that just because it looks flash and it looks perfect, I still had my struggles.
Mm.
To finish our interview, SBW, we've got a little game I like to play, rapid fire questions. I throw something at you. You think of the first thing that comes to your mind and we go with that answer.
No worries. Let's go.
But is there a player that stood out who you played against that you thought, oh, geez, I don't want to play against him again?
Greg Inglis.
Oh, gee, I wow.
Do you remember that 2013? I don't know if you remember 2013. They put me on the centres to defend against him because all their tries were coming down the left edge. And I said to myself before the game, that mental welfare, you know, the mental warfare, I'm going to show this dude. Bro, first 5 minutes, I shoot out of the line, read the play, and he catches the ball, and I hit him like it's a perfect hit.
Yeah.
The man just throws me off, runs under the post, and scores the try.
What a weapon. What a weapon.
Which
he
makes
was.
Me think, how did poor, what chance did poor old Jamie Soward stand?
None. None. You know, none.
If SBW is not doing anything,
none. Anyone in answer, none.
He was a special talent, too.
Jamie. He was a God given talent. When you were, you know, in your halcyon days as a lad, who was your favourite teammate to party with?
Funny story, I remember being in the Bulldogs house, and the house had Jonathan Thurston, Nate Miles,
Willie Mason.
All of these top lads that just loved the party, but I was just the sober driver all the time. But when I got into the party days, it was Willie Tonga, because he was obviously my roommate. Don't bring up these bad memories. Come on.
No, sorry, mate. Don't forget, this is all cleansing. This is all cleansing, brother. This is all cleansing. Finally, you've got a beautiful wife, Alana. You've got four beautiful kids. How many kids are Sonny Bill Williams and Alana going to have?
Bro, I'm trying to push for more, cuz.
Oh, no, you are.
Yeah, I'm trying to push for more. I would love to have at least, you know, ideal number eight. But she's a legend, my wife. She's saying,
she's a legend.
I'll give you one more. So God willing, all I can say as a Muslim is inshallah I have 10.
The book is called You Can't Stop the Sun From Shining. Sonny Bill Williams, a fantastic read.
As you said,
he's bared his soul in this one, and it is a fantastic read. If you enjoyed any stage of his marvellous athletic career, it's absolutely worth reading. Sonny, thank you so much for your time, and good work, and congratulations on your stint with Channel 9 this year on both the Union and the League coverage. You're
awesome.
Absolutely flying.
Thanks, boys. Slow and steady. I'll get there. But, yeah, I appreciate you guys having me there.
Cricket season is well and truly underway, MG. Last night, I don't know if you saw, but the Women's Big Bash kicked off in Tassie. The Sixers taking on the Melbourne Stars. The game was shortened to 11 overs. They only played 11 overs because of rain, which is barely seems enough to be a cricket match. But well done to the Sixers. Alyssa Healy, she's a superstar. Half century off 24 deliveries last night.
Yeah, she came back. What about the ball that got her in a recent game against India?
Oh, that chopped one of the best, back a metre.
The ball of the century.
Oh, it was outstanding. Wow. So well done to the Sixers last night. They're off to a flyer in the WBBL. Next Monday, the T20 World Cup gets underway. And just excitement, the feels about
Can't
the Australian
wait.
Team.
Cannot wait.
I'm excited about that. The big show, friend of the show, the one that you've inspired to his feet in the IPL this season with a pump up a couple of weeks back. But the story we need to talk about today as far as cricket goes surrounds Australia and the Ashes squad. Now, Brad Haddin was on last week and told us that the holes in the squad at the moment, or the vacancies are around who opens with David Warner and who bats at number five. Now, Travis Head, the South Australian, delivered a double ton performance in the One Day Cup during the week, so he's probably first in line for that number five spot. But the opening partnership with David Warner, a lot of people were hoping young Will Pukowski, this 23-year-old who was deemed a cricket prodigy as a teenager.
Oh, he burst onto the scene with so much fanfare.
And then when he made his test debut at the start of the year against India, it's been reported by Cricket Victoria, they've confirmed that he suffered a concussion last week in training.
Oh, no.
Now, the scary part, and he's having the delayed symptoms, which haven't cleared as yet. And talking about rugby league as we do, we've seen this year the effects that concussions can have on careers.
Oh, but you know what? It's a lot different, I think, in cricket because the ball's hitting you in the head. That means the only way you can get concussion in cricket is to be with the ball hitting you in the head.
And that's what confirmed he was having throwdowns in the nets and a ball's collected him in the head. The really concern for this young man, who, as I said, he's just turned 23, this is his 10th concussion. This is his 10th concussion. And this is a guy who...
That's not good. Poor bugger.
You know, I think a lot of Australian experts and past players and coaches and the likes had him as a permanent fixture of the Australian Test team for many years to come. But the greater concern now, and you know this, MG, haven't played a contact sport, at some point you got to weigh up your health versus your career.
Of course you do. Of course you do. His 10th concussion at 23 years of age, that's a major concern. I take it they've followed the protocols and they've had the scans and stuff like that, and so they've probably ruled out anything that's, you know, at the moment too dangerous for him to put a bat in his hand. But you've got to think that something's going on, that he can be concussed. So it must be some one of them trigger points that it's so easy to happen, because to happen to a kid who's 23 years of age 10 times already... That's not good, Liam. That's not good, mate.
Well, and to quote, you know, paraphrase Andrew Johns when the whole Boyd Cordner thing was happening earlier this year, is that, you know, we are not experts on this, and the great thing for Will is that the Australian doctors, the medical team around that setup, they will be doing the absolutely best thing by him and following the protocols as best they can.
Yeah, so, get well, Will. Get well, buddy.
We're thinking of you, Will. Don't worry about the Ashes. Worry about your health and well-being as a priority, and we hope to see you back out on the cricket field very soon. We are almost at the weekend, Freedom Weekend. MG, plans for this weekend, MG?
I am spending the night with my mates at the pub.
Mm.
20 of us are going up to the Pioneer Tavern for a little quiet drink.
How good.
Then I've got the gym in the morning, and then the Everest tomorrow. Whew. And it's, it's freedom.
Freedom.
It's freedom.
Freedom.
And it's, what are you doing?
Tomorrow morning, I'm riding from my joint to Palm Beach and back.
Wow.
Which I've never done before. So to everybody out there, if you see some Muppet on the road by himself battling because all his mates have dropped him because he's not very good at riding a bike.
Yeah, what you should do, I'll give you a little piece of advice. Wear your stay around and rush hour shirt. Oh. No one will abuse you. Nobody will abuse you. If you've got your Lycra on, you're in trouble.
Until I hit the Northern Beaches, and then people might think I work with Ryan Girdler and they might run me off the roads after what he said about Manly. No, I'm looking forward to the weekend. We've got kids' birthday parties. We've got freedom. That's what matters. And producer Charlie is in the show. Charles, what are you doing this weekend, Charlie?
That's a nice singlet you got on there.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Just showing off the guns.
Mesh was a brave choice.
Yeah.
Very white.
Is it tight enough, do you think? Does it look good?
Well, the nipple ring is one step too far. Okay.
What are you doing this weekend?
Saturday, I think, getting up with a few mates, going to watch the races, and then I think we're going to go hit a couple of pubs and, you know, enjoy being out and about.
You know why, Charlie? Because you can.
Because
you can. And because Charlie's in here, we can do this. Boom, boom. Blankety Blanks is the game. Producer Charlie has sporting sentences with blanks in them that MG and I need to fill out. It is our tribute to the late, great Graham Kennedy. Charlie, over to you.
All right, boys, let's start off with blank will win the Everest.
I like Nature Strip, but I'm thinking Eduardo.
Oh, no!
Eduardo. Nashua Willa.
I know nothing about horse racing, and I was just going to pick Eduardo because my mate's name's Ed.
Well, there we go. Let's put
$20 each on it then.
Done.
Eduardo, lock it in. Eduardo. The rush hour tip for the Everest.
Boys, international travel is probably back from November 1 with no hotel quarantine.
Oh, yeah.
So the first place you will go is blank. You
can't say Terrigal.
I'm going to take the family to Hawaii.
Oh, I love
great
that.
Great choice. Do you know what? I'll be heading. I've got family in London that I'd love to go and visit, but it's going to be cold and miserable over there. I want to go somewhere. Take me to Thailand.
Yes.
Take me to Thailand.
Come to Hawaii with me. You can come with me.
I'm going to Hawaii with MG.
There you go.
Settled.
I love the Tigers chat earlier, boys. So blank is the player who the Tigers should actually chase.
Oh, that's hard. That is hard. I think they need a forward of substance. Yeah. I really do. I think they need somebody, you know, like the Finucane who went to the Sharks. I keep coming back to Tarek Sims. I don't know why he was on the scrap heap at the Dragons. I know he's playing again this year, but they obviously don't want him. Go to somewhere who wants you. Tigers, Lee Hedjipetalis loves the show. Lee, give Tarek Sims a little buzz, mate. He'll love the Tiger Land.
I don't know how they get this deal done, right? I'll say that as a caveat. Find a way to get Christian Welch. Find a way. Like, I know he's a Queenslander. I know the Dolphins will be all over him. I know the Broncos will probably be thinking about him. But if he's 27 years of age, he's banging the prime.
Yep.
Find a way to get him there. Bring that Melbourne Storm culture and work ethic to a club that needs it.
He's available from November 1 as well to sign with other clubs.
That is a great call.
If you could have a beer with any cricketer from any era, it would be blank.
Ooh.
Well, I have had a beer with this guy, and it was one of my dreams come true. And I'd love to have another one with him, because it's been probably 20 years since I've seen him. So it's DK Lilly. When I was in Perth with the Western Reds, he was a constant around the Wacker for more reasons than one. And when I got the chance to meet him, wow, what a bloke. What a bloke. And share a beer with him. And so I'd love to see him again. I'd love to see DK Lilly.
I'm going to go similar era. We had Rod Marsh on this show a couple of years back.
It was Backus.
And his book that he wrote at the time, which was outstanding, and that era that he played through and all the stories he'd have to tell, and the time he gave us in here,
wasn't he a wonderful man when he came in?
Sit me down at a bar with Rod Marsh for a couple of hours, and I won't say a word. I'll just listen. He was outstanding.
It was one of the best chats I reckon we've ever had.
One of the greatest interviews. In fact, we should repost that interview.
Yes,
this weekend. We'll drop that.
Oh, yeah, good call.
Give me some beers with Rod Marsh. I'd be very
happy. What about you, Chucky? You're a bit younger than us. Who's the cricketer you'd love to have a
beer? I grew up being an England fan, so I'd probably want to have a beer with someone like Andrew Flintoff.
Yeah. That was my favourite. Can I come?
Do you know, I actually loved Kevin Peterson growing up.
I didn't mind him either.
I know he's seen as a bit of a twat.
He's the Nick Kyrgios of cricket.
But I loved watching him play as a, and he seems like he'd be fun on the beers as well. He'd be quite loose and loud and...
Mm. The Flintoff call is a great one, though. Yeah. In fact, there's a rush hour party. Dennis Lilly, Rod Marsh, Andrew Flintoff, and the three of us.
Yeah. What a vibe.
What a vibe.
We should actually, before the season's out, we should build another boat.
Remember
remember our party boats we built a couple of years ago? Who's on the boat?
I think I had Cam Munster on my boat. I don't know if he'd be allowed to come on my boat anymore.
Yeah, Bam Bam. Bam Bam threw Cam Munster off a minute into the trip.
That's right. We're going to do that again.
Yeah, let's
do it. Very good. Any more, Charlie?
No, that's it, boys.
Just quickly, you're going to be following the Everest tomorrow. Who do you think wins?
I'll go classic legend.
Boring.
Back to back.
Boring. Righto, that is the Rush Hour done for you Friday. Make sure you've got the listener app, LISTNR, because tomorrow the full unedited chat with Sonny Bill Williams will be dropping. And Charlie tells us that we're going to have that Rod Marsh chat back up for everybody to listen to as well.
As always, our beautiful listeners, thank you for your ears. He's Charlie. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay random.